Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:10. Actually, this is one I just really talked about, so we'll just read it quickly. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, which implies that God's grace can be poured out into our lives, and it ends up being in vain. Something's happening where we're not responding to the Spirit, we're not responding and yielding to the Spirit like we should be, and it has no effect. So we have to be concerned about that. God pours His grace out, but He's saying, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Like I said, He was saying He's the worst of sinners, and He was this blasphemer and a persecutor, and He couldn't have had a more ugly heart. But it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. God, I didn't change my nature, that God did this. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. So what I'm talking about, when we're going to find out laboring hard for the Lord or laying our life down for the Lord and doing the work of the Lord, we've got to understand that this is clearly, and that's what I'm trying to say, moment by moment thing, not something we're supposed to be doing in the flesh. It's something that the grace of God is supposed to be giving us the energy day by day to do what He wants to do. And if we will just give ourselves up to Him, what He's saying, Paul is saying, that his whole life was given up to doing the will of the Lord. And he had no problem doing that. It was no problem. This was his joy of his heart. And because he fed on the will of the Father, like Jesus, he says, who said, my food is to do the will of the Father. Paul's sustenance was to do the will of the Father. And you'll find that as long as you're seeking out God's will in your life and you're trying to truly be a vessel of His love, that this life will continue to flow through you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:14. Okay, this is basically what I was trying to describe here now. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us. There's supposed to be this just compelling thing that goes within us to do this work that He wants us to be doing. Once He puts on our heart a work to do, once He starts moving you in a direction to do a work, there should be this compelling love. And what I'm talking about, it's a love that is self-sacrificing love that lays itself down for the good of the many. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. So that is the premise of this Christian faith, of the Christian love, is that Christ died for us, gave Himself up for us. Now He's seeking to have many brothers that are conformed to His spiritual image. You know, that's what it talks about in Romans 8:29, that we've been predestined. He's been predestined, basically. We've been predestined to be like Him, to also lay ourselves down for the good of the many. And that's what Christian love does. That's what the supernatural agape love does. We don't do that naturally. That's what God does through us, this compelling love that has to begin to well up from within us. And all I'm saying is, you don't grunt trying to produce it. You rely on, you trust in. You just turn to the Lord and you depend on Him to do this for you. Okay, let's go over to chapter 8. There's another one. I'm just going to read this real quick because we covered it a couple of weeks ago, but this is just a picture of this love. 2 Corinthians 8:1-9 here. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. So he's trying to picture what happens when God's grace comes into the lives of Christians, and it's not in vain, put it that way, like Paul just tried to describe it. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, which takes it beyond normal love, it takes us into God's love, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So basically, the whole premise comes back. You've got to first give yourself to the Lord. It doesn't work until you give yourself to the Lord. Then, as this love that exceeded beyond their own ability began to come up with them, within them, they began imploring, look, there's people in need and we want to help. Beyond our ability. It was beyond... And it's hard to explain. These were poor people. But yet they wanted to give up even the little they had to help other people. This was the heart of God inside of them that began to work. Verse 7. Let's jump down to verse 7. But as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all diligence and in your love for us, see that you also abound in this grace also.
This is a church of Macedonia.
In verse 8 he says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So that's a clear description of this love, that this grace that was in the Lord that should begin become and flow through us. That he was, although he is rich, he was willing to give himself up and all the glory of heaven to be able to reach others and bring the richness of God's life into them. And that's what Christianity is all about. Being willing to give up whatever God puts on your heart to do. And you can't even start giving away things until God does that, tells you. Because that's even willful. See, God has plans for a lot of things. And we think, well, I'll just do this and do this and we get ahead of God. Whatever God does, he's got to really put on your heart. It's got to be a joy offering that you know that this is what the Lord wants you to do, and it has a purpose because he's trying to reach something. We could give away all our resources and find out that we're just about when God's ready to start using us, we don't have anything left. And because we got way ahead of God. So we have to, all of our giving should be something that wells up from within us. We know that this is the Lord is calling us to do this. And so when we do give it, there's no grudge. It's not done grudgingly. It's done with just abundant of joy in your heart to do it. So let's go on here to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 17. Okay. This is just basically a definition of God's love. Chapter 13, verse 4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. So, as the things begin to happen against us, it continues to suffer long. It's willing to give itself up rather than have its rights, have its will, have its way. It suffers long with others and is kind all through that process. Love does not envy. It's not concerned about what somebody else has, even somebody else's ministry. Oh, I wish I was, up there in front of all those people. No, it just doesn't worry about that. Basically, this love is dead. This love brings absolute selflessness to you. It's not concerned. You just, okay, whatever, Lord. You're willing to be wherever He puts you, whenever He wants you, whether it's washing dishes or whatever. That's what this love does. It just doesn't concern about what do they got? I should be able to do as much as they're doing. Why do I have to wash these dishes? Well, it doesn't envy those kind of things. Love does not parade itself. It just, there's no pride in it. It's not intended to show other people that I am something. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. That's the whole picture of Jesus. He didn't seek, he could have had a lot of things. Satan came along and says, just use your power and I'll give you this. He took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You just have that. You use your power, you become a self-seeker. And you can have this whole world. If you just become a self-seeker, and I'll give it to you. He would have sinned and he would have lost, basically given up his right to save us if he would have done it. But he gave himself up and refused to be a self-seeker for the good of others. That's what the scripture we just read, that he gave up all the riches that he could have had and made it and became poor so that others become rich. That's what this love does. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. What I'm saying is, what I'm talking about, this is beyond human understanding. It is. God's got to reveal it. It's no matter how much we talk about this, this is the love of God, but only He can reveal it through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. does not rejoice in iniquity, getting back at people, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So this love that we're supposed to have is supposed to be the endless life. It's supposed to flow through us for eternity. Never fails. It's the one thing that God just doesn't fail. All other things are going to fail. But this love of God that's supposed to be in us is going to be the endless life. That's the life of eternity that's supposed to flow through us. And this is how people are going to live in the millennial kingdom. Everybody's out looking for everybody else. You know, no longer inwardly focused, I got to take care of myself. God is able to control everybody in the millennial kingdom so that basically you're dead to yourself and everybody's concerned about something else. When somebody else has a need, the Lord puts that need in our heart and we want to go help that person in that need. I'm not looking at myself. He's got somebody else. He knows that I got a need and He puts that on their heart. And so everybody is kind of looking out for everybody else rather than the old way, which we do in this world, where everybody's seeking to please themselves. Everybody's taking care of themselves. I got to take care of me first. But the Lord can control all these things through the Holy Spirit if we're really in this love, that He can just say, okay, put on my heart that somebody needs help. And He can take and He can control all the things in this world. So there's no taking for ourselves all the time and being all upset because somebody took what was ours. You know, He takes that nature out of us. And that's what this love is supposed to be. But also we're supposed to begin to have that in this world. That's the whole point. We're supposed to begin having that in this world. Let's go on to 1 John 2:3-6. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. That's one of the first things that a regenerate heart happens. I mean, you get a hunger and thirst for righteousness. So if you have a desire to follow after the Lord, to keep His commandments, you can know that the Lord has done a work in you. He's regenerated your heart. That He's given you this need to be like Him. And so now we're going to be seeking after Him. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Can you see this now? As we keep His word, as we respond to Him, now God is going to be the one that's doing the perfecting of the love in us. And this is again the agape love, that He's got to produce this love. We've got to respond to Him. The Holy Spirit is going to be telling us to, you know, He's going to ask us to do things. He's going to ask us to, you know, maybe give up things. He's going to ask for His sake. What we've been feeding on that's taken us away from the life that we should be living for the Lord. And He's going to be keep examining us with His light. And so He's going to ask us to respond to those things. And He says, how is that love ever going to get perfected? Because we're responding to Him. Truly, the love of God is perfected in Him by our responding. And that's not through our work. It's through the Holy Spirit. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk as Jesus did. Let's go over to, because I've got to move right along if I'm going to get done. 2:15 and 17. Now, this is a test. Chapter 2, same book. Chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. Same chapter, actually. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, he says, the love of the Father is not in him. So this love that I've been talking about, if we still love the world, that love is not in us. Yeah. The only way that anybody can ever overcome the world is to have this love in us. What he says, because if you still love the world, if you have this attachment to the things of this world, then this fullness of agape love is not flowing through you. We need to seek out a fuller revelation of the agape love to separate us. Because it does. I mean, you have no desire from the world if this agape love is flowing out of you like this fountain, like he pictures it, that we're supposed to have in it. It's not that there's any way that you can say, well, gee, I'm just going to stop loving these things of the world today. That's impossible. But when this love of God just completely satisfies your soul, then you have no other need for the things of the world. All I'm saying is, The richness and fullness of God has got to satisfy you to an extent that you do not have the desire to... Because that's why we love the world. Because there's an emptiness there, and I keep going out, and I'm finding, I'm looking, I've got to find something to fill this emptiness. But when God satisfies that, that doesn't mean you can ever have enough of God, because you'll always want more God. But what I'm saying is that he says you'll never thirst again. What he means that way, you'll never thirst for the temporal waters of this world again, because the agape of God is in you. And he says, if you still love the world, then you need more of that agape love to separate you from the world, to satisfy your soul. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So basically, that defines all the sins of this world. That we lust with it our flesh, we lust with it with our eyes, or we're trying to build ourselves up in pride. All of the sins of the world come from those three sources. Those are basically pictured in various points, going all the way back to eating of the bad tree. Okay? Let's go to 1 John 3:14. He says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So if we have an extreme dislike for someone, there's a serious problem. But we need the love of God in us, because it really takes it out of us. You can't. That's impossible. It's another one of those impossibilities, that you can't have the love of God in you and find yourself just having hate for somebody. You know, just you can't. It's not possible. So God's love is what takes that out of us. Okay. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Okay. But Jesus taught that way back in the Sermon on the Mount. Same principle. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Again, that's another definition of love. This laying down our life for our brethren, giving up our rights for our brothers. That's basically what the Lord wants to put into us. That's really something that's not easy to do. Okay? We understand that. That's why we need more of the life of God. That's why we must come back, rely, depend on, trust in the Lord. Because it comes from Him. It all comes as we respond to the Lord. As He separates us from the things of the world, we've got to be willing to respond. He has to become our only source of spiritual sustenance. That's when all this life will come in, as He becomes our only source of spiritual sustenance. We're not sharing our heart with a whole bunch of other things, and Him too. Anyway, okay, we're almost done. 1 John 14... Okay, 16 and 17. Verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So we can see it's a matter of just... It's, James talks about the same principle. You know, if you see someone in need and you don't help them, how can the love of God be in you? I mean, that love just wants to help. I mean, and it's really got to be true need. You got to separate some of their needs from some of the sins, you know, because we can very easily lead people into sin by helping them in a wrong way. You got to be very careful of how we do help them, but he does want us to reach out and help people, and we just got to be cautious of how we do it. Let's do this last verse. 1 John 4:9. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. See, that's the whole key to love. He sent His Son in here to this world that we could live through Him. Not just necessarily live for Him. We've got to live through Him. That He's got to be the source of our life. He's got to be the source of the love. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There's some better translations of that, but basically He says, when we're like Him in this world, that He's come to perfect His love in us. And if you want to have boldness, even today, it'll be because God has put this love in you. He's enabled you to just give up your life for the Lord. And it has, you have no problem with it. It's not a suffering thing. I'm not saying you won't suffer many things serving the Lord. But serving the Lord from your heart has got to be something that the Lord puts in us that we desire to do. And if He, what He's doing is He's measuring your faith. He's measuring your trust. He's measuring your willingness to respond to Him. And He says a while ago, He's back in 1 John 2, 5 and 6, I guess, that the love of God would be perfected in us by obeying His commands. No, that was back in John, I think, somewhere. Anyway, that God's love would be perfected in us by us responding to Him. He'll do that. That's up to Him. It's not up to us. Any questions? Fire up.